Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.
Okay, what we're thinking of as aliens are, they're extra dimensional beings.
Explore the lesser-known stories of our unknown world. Join the pursuit of the paranormal with Ash and Greg.
Thanks for joining us. This episode, we're going to be talking to the East Oxford paranormal group, Dark Wisconsin. Did I get that bit right?
Yep.
Welcome along. Thanks for joining us today. What we'll try and do on this episode is just have a general catch up with you guys, see how you're doing. I know I've been speaking with David for a number of years now, but strangely, I wanted to join a paranormal group in Oxford, where I'm from, and I done a Google search for Oxford paranormal groups, and East Oxford Paranormal Group came up. So I started looking into it. And then I discovered you guys were in Wisconsin and not Oxfordshire, UK.
We're close.
So, very close. I contacted David and sort of we've been in touch ever since, really. I've got a paranormal group that I belong to, and we've been sharing content and experiments and ideas. So it's been good to get you guys onto this podcast that me and Ash are doing, where we're just trying to talk about lesser known paranormal events, lesser known happenings in sort of this weird unknown world that people tend to shy away from, or a lot of people on the internet try and make fun of because they don't understand it, or they don't believe in it, or they're conditioned not to believe in it, that kind of thing, and they think it's all a bit too weird. Thanks for joining us. Could you, first of all, would you be able to introduce yourselves and let us know a bit about your group?
Well, I'm Dave Bignell. I'm the co-founder. Mark behind me is the founder. It's funny that you talk about us being from England, because we get a lot of people that will actually argue about us coming to their place in England. And I finally had to send a lady a map. Like, we are nowhere near you. There's nothing I can do for you. But if you want to pay for the flight, I'm more than willing to come and travel. I've been a believer pretty much my entire life.
Yeah.
I've been investigating pretty much by myself for a long time. We didn't start the group until Mark, who's a hardcore skeptic, had his first experience.
What was the experience?
Stuff in my house. Like my wife hearing stuff, things moving, people talking that aren't there. Starting to drive me batty because that can't happen.
How did that make you feel then?
Confused.
Yeah.
A little pissed off. Not scared. A little pissed off. There's something in my house that I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. I can imagine. That's a bit. So are you still a skeptic, or do you believe a little bit more?
I'm leaning.
it's nice because where I will go in and look at things, mm-hmm. he has more of a skeptic's vision of what's going on, what reels me back in, gets me back on the right path.
Cool.
Because sometimes I just, when I see something or hear something, I want to go back in and, you know, go straight to the paranormal right away, where he's like, okay, let's test the wires. Let's look around. What can it be? You know, start debunking a little bit.
Very Mulder and Scully.
Oh, yeah. I dragged Paul along because I've known Paul for a long time, and we investigated his house, which is like the gift that just keeps giving.
Oh, yeah.
And by the time we were done, he was part of the team, and he makes really good beer, so we had to keep him along.
And he's got a neat accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're from England. You're from England, aren't you?
Yeah.
At least you're not a Uper.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah, my house was like really haunted. How many ghosts have we found there?
Oh, a minimum of 10.
Yeah.
The whole town was haunted, but
yeah,
his house really badly for quite some time.
Yeah.
Also, what did you do, Paul? How did most of these ghosts get there, Paul?
I don't know.
Paul worked for the hospital, and he was bringing equipment and stuff home, and they would throw it out. Bad idea if you happen to work for a hospital.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, a lot of them were passing through Endeavor, though, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. The town of Endeavor, where he lived, is like a big portal. There's a lot of transient spirits that go on there.
It was built on a giant Indian burial mound.
Threw him up at the academy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they've obviously never seen poltergeist.
Yeah.
Because everywhere you go in that, we found everything, didn't we? Everywhere we went in that place.
Yeah, we got multiple different kinds of voices and orbs and some very distinct, angry places.
Well, okay. Is your own house that's haunted? Paul's.
I did own it till I got divorced. And then the woman who bought it off me says, oh, I don't believe. Yeah. She was at home one night with her daughter, and her bedroom was right opposite her daughter's, and somebody knocked really loud on her daughter's door, and her daughter come running out, and she goes, Mom, did you do that? She said, no, bad mistake. Freaked her daughter the hell out, and then after that, she figured out there was something in there, so it's still there.
It was actually the first video that we produced, and they hadn't seen the video until after they moved in there.
It's my ex-wife that lovingly told them when I was trying to sell the house.
Whoops.
Yeah, but they still bought it because they didn't believe what they do now.
In Paul's house where I got my first direct response on EVP.
Okay, tell me about that then.
It was at Paul's. We're getting, I don't know which investigation it was, third or fourth.
Yeah, we was downstairs in the basement.
And on the video we got out, we captured a name that says Ichabod. Kind of funny. But one of our other guys used to be, while I was running the camera, he told me, come over, because he goes, you and Dave joke around, and you got this Ichabod. And I said, nope. But I found out that's a biblical reference.
Okay.
Ask next time we're there, on camera, Ichabod, is that just a name or a biblical reference? And the entity said biblical, remember?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I put it on my cell phone. I was sat on the stairs. Because I got it on my cell phone and rushed upstairs. And Dave, listen to this. It disappeared from everywhere.
Yeah, we actually posted it to Facebook and it disappeared.
Yeah, it disappeared off my phone. We couldn't find it anywhere.
Well, so it just deleted off everything.
Yeah, video disappeared.
We can't find it now. We don't know where it went.
Ichabod is the name out of the Bible.
Ichabod.
Have you looked up what that means?
It's actually the name of a priest during the time when the Ark of the Covenant was going through. And the name was actually stands for God doesn't live here.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, our cameraman cussed us out and left because he knew what it meant.
I didn't know what to say after I got that answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we was filming upstairs one day in the kitchen. I think it was me and Dave and somebody else. And we had the two women talking to us. Ichabod said, shut up and get back in the war.
Yep.
Wow.
Me and Dave were like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
We've actually caught the same phrase on two out of three different recorders.
See, that's really good evidence. That's the kind of stuff you need to help back up everything, isn't it? So, what I was going to say. Well, sorry, I haven't let you carry on with your introductions. We've only got to Paul. apologies. We went off there a little bit, so apologies for that.
Not spoke to the ladies yet.
Yeah, Tamara.
I'm Tamara. Hi, nice to meet you guys.
And you.
I met the group gosh, almost 2 years ago, when I was having activity in the home that I had just bought, and I already knew there was stuff there, but it was freaking my son out. So I reached out to the group after I was able to collect some videos and stuff like that, and had them come in and do an investigation, and I've been with them ever since.
Wow. Don't let her mess with you. She had the entire investigation done before we ever showed up. She had portable cameras, and she had more evidence on those than we got in the entire investigation.
Oh, wow.
She had had problems with another group when she contacted us, and the little that she sent me over the phone, I'm like, okay, get in the car. We got to drive over and see, see this place for ourselves. But camera's kind of a special help to the group. What's your specialty?
I'm a sensitive.
Okay. Could you explain a little bit of what that is? Because people that listen to our podcast, because we cover off a number of different subjects, they may not know exactly what that is. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, to put it bluntly, I see dead people. It's a gift I've had since I was really little. I've always remembered having the gift as a child. Back then, I would get in trouble for talking to things nobody could see, or freak people out when I would tell them that there's dead people coming down the stairs. And so I would get in a lot of trouble. So for many, many years, I just ignored it and kind of told them to go away. But I've always had the gift. I just couldn't see them anymore. But sometimes people, sensitives can just feel. Sometimes sensitives can just hear. Some can just see. And so there's different levels of sensitivity. Most people prefer the term mediums, but I prefer to be called sensitive because to me it's just another sense that I have. I'm just able to see things other people can't.
Lisa?
I'm Lisa. I'm Dave's wife, and I help him with reviewing. I have been doing camera lately.
She's become my tech person. And she makes sure we're all moving in the right direction because we can get a little scattered. We have a big group. How many is there now? I tried to count it up earlier. We're at like 14 or 15 now, depending. We have four sensitives. Michelle can hear, and she sees things like a jigsaw puzzle, little snippets here and there, and she puts it together. Rachel really feels emotions. Tamara sees, and Jude can do multiple different things. The rest of us just investigate old school, and between the two different mediums, we get some interesting results. And we only started out with a few of us that were friends, and it's kind of, we've had some new people pop in pretty much every year.
How long have you been going for again in total?
About 14 years now.
Wow.
2014 we started this. So 6 years. Mm-hmm.
Cool. What got you into the paranormal? I know you've all had your separate experiences, but what about the rest of them? Did they get into it in a different way, or?
It seems like as people had experiences and they met us, they just decided to join up and start doing it. We have a retired police detective officer from Madison who works at the library now, who's a serious skeptic, but has been doing this longer than we have, which is great because he adds a whole new dynamic into it. And he did it just because he has questions about everything.
Okay.
So it all depends. Everybody jumped in for a different reason. But for whatever reason, we work as a group.
Cool. So do you all go to the investigations at the same time, or do you sort of split up? And
we've done it both ways. We've split up. You know, the sensitives go one night. The old school goes the next night. We've done it all at the same time.
Yeah.
It all really kind of depends on the invest and the amount of time that we're allotted to do it.
Do you find that you get an opportunity to spend multiple nights at a location, or do you only sort of have a set period during one night? Or
usually get our most evidence by 1 a.m.
Okay.
Sometimes they let us do multiple nights. Most of the time here, it's one night. But first thing we tell them is when we come in, we're going to invade your house. We got equipment everywhere. And we just go until we feel that we're done.
What kind of equipment do you use?
We have several DVR systems. Your standard, a couple REM pods, Mel meters, spirit boxes.
Yep.
That spirit box in the hands, I don't know what you call it. You make it out of like a little guitar amp.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Ghost box.
Ghost box type thing, yeah.
And we got Kinects, yeah, that one. I'm not
3D imager.
Oh, with the Xbox, like Kinect.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. How do you find the evidence on that? Do you get good results with that?
It'll map it out like a stick figure if it's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Really, when you that shoots out a bunch of dots and it's reading the bounce back, and if something seems to form or it does form around you, it's picking it up and showing it to you. If something's trying to manifest.
Okay. Do you find you get results with that alongside other bits? So like the EVPs like you mentioned and
Yes.
The best we ever saw with that is when me and you and Dave were in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
I had it pointing at Dave and you said there's something next to me. It was.
Yeah, that's
something. It left Dave and moved away from him. So you could actually see it moving.
Wow.
Yeah, they were just me, Dave, and Mark in the basement.
Yeah. Because
mm-hmm. you could feel it, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we went in the basement there, and Mark said, "What's my name?" Nothing. So I said, "What's my name?" Nothing. Dave goes, "What's my name?" David.
Yeah.
I only wanted to talk to David. Then eventually it told him to,
It told me to go away in that such a nice way.
It sounds like you guys have quite a lot of paranormal activity in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is blessed to be one of the most haunted places in the United States.
Wow. In the UK, we got loads of history, we get loads of haunted places, but all the stuff that comes out, or a lot of it, all comes from America. I don't know why that is.
You know, I've always wondered about that when you watch these shows.
Yeah.
We found a German ghost, but it's answering you in English, so.
Yeah. They do that, though. That's what's so great about it. Yeah. Like, even with Native Americans, they will communicate in
the supernatural Rosetta Stone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think ghosts are? What do you think? It's not a trick question or anything. I'm just interested to know what you guys think ghosts are. I've got my own opinion.
It's a lot of lost souls. I mean, for whatever reason, they're unable to move on. And this is what it's energy that's left here. For whatever reason.
Well, some of them are just replaying over and over certain times of year.
So really, my take on it is everything in the world is made up of little bits of energy, little neutrons and microns. And energy doesn't go away, it just changes.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody dies and their energy adjusts, becomes invisible, whatever, that's what we're... What I believe we're running into, so the essence of a person, I guess.
Okay.
What about the theory of time slip, where it's literally you're literally seeing a different time, but like in front of you? Because there's a street in Liverpool called Bond Street, and there's been quite a lot of reports where someone's gone into a pub or a shop, come back out, and it's like the in the 1950s. It's literally they've stepped into a different time zone briefly and then stepped back out.
Some kind of portal? Or
So it's quite hard to say, but it's just basically they step into a street or out of a shop and they're just in a different time zone. They've just gone back to 1960.
I think that's like an alternate universe next to ours. And sometimes you see a crack in it. That's why you see things. And sometimes could you walk through it? Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come back again in your own.
Here's another theory, and it's just a theory. Could it be a collective memory?
Very good question.
I don't know. I just...
Well, I think
it could be. And it's so strong in that one area that you actually see what other people have seen?
It could be. For a second. Energy is there, especially residual energy. The environment records that. Yeah. And it holds on to that. And especially in places like England where it's so historical, there's a lot of imprints there, maybe. That's a good question. Maybe that's worth
it. I think some of it they call it the stone tape theory, where the buildings effectively record events based on the energy. Yeah, the time slips are a good one, and also what you were saying about the alternative sort of universes and that parallel universe is definitely a theory that I lend weight to as well. Can also be evidence for a lot of sort of paranormal activities. Things move in. Some poltergeist activity, for example. I'm not exclusively, but it could be that person is actually a living person in another parallel universe somewhere, and is actually where it's just blended together. So they're actually moving something in their universe, but it's sort of slipped or whatever, and just it's actually happening where they've crossed universe. They don't know it. We don't know it.
Well, you can get poltergeist activity out in the woods.
Yeah, so it could lend theory to that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, New Mills is near where I used to live in England, and there's quite a few people have seen like a whole Roman garrison marching up and down the street. But it only seems to be certain times a year, though.
That's strange.
Yeah.
Would that be around times where something significant has happened in the past in those times, do you think?
Yeah.
So it's like stored all that energy.
Yeah, because it always seems to be like autumn, like October sometimes. Like, it probably doesn't happen like every year, it just every now and again, but it always seems to be about the same time every year.
Mm-hmm. Strange.
Yeah.
So what's your theory on that? What do you think that might be?
I have no idea. Yeah, like I say, it's probably like something like just came through the crack, and then just carried on, and then just disappeared back in it again.
Yeah.
Or for whatever reason, that particular spot recorded when it happened, and it plays it back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a picture or a video.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of where people have seen ghosts. It does seem to be like replaying the same action. Like you see people walking through walls, and that's all that seems to happen. There seems to be no interaction. It's just effectively like a tape rewinding, playing, or looping.
Yeah, that's how the house was I grew up in. Every day at the same time, or every night at the same time, you could hear the old screen door open and close, the stairs door open and close, footsteps all the way up to my bedroom, and then just disappear. It happened every time. It never changed, and I couldn't go to sleep before I heard it.
Wow. I don't think I'll go to sleep after I heard it either. Wow, that's mad. That is mad. How did that make you feel, though? Because that's why I'm interested. Do you, if you were calm about it and you accepted it, do you think that helped?
I think it did. I don't think it interacted with us. I don't think it even knew that we were there. I think it was just something that this guy must have done every day of his life at the same time.
Yeah.
It was an old farm. And I was so young when I noticed it, which is funny because none of my brothers did.
Okay.
I was the only one who ever noticed it. But I was so young and it happened so often that I never had time to be scared of it, you know. And I don't think I've ever been scared on an investigation.
Apart from my house.
Apart from your house. I've been affected, but never really scared, I don't think. Mark had.
Yeah, something chased Dave out of my house.
I was actually not in your house when it went through.
Oh, you was outside, weren't you?
Paul was moving, and I was helping him move, and I don't know, you had to go back to the apartment to get a tool.
Yeah.
So I just continued to pack stuff up, and all of a sudden I'm like, I need not be in this house. And of course, we'd already investigated it like six times, so I knew it was in there. So I'm standing out on the deck, leaning on the railing, talking on the phone, and I could have swore that I heard Paul come through the door. So as I stuck my head in, I watched a big black mass move from one end of the house and block the light out on the windows on the other side. Now this house, you can look through the patio door and see out the other doors on the other side of the house. And I couldn't see the doors on the other side of the house. It was so black. Needless to say, I did not go in the rest of the day. Yes. We were done packing for the day.
One question I need to ask is, so people contact you to go in and investigate and find out what's going on. Are they expecting any kind of resolution from you?
Some have asked.
I also want to make sure they're not crazy.
Yeah, most of what we hear is people just want to know. They want to know that what they're hearing is real, or can you find an explanation for it? Mm-hmm. You know? Some have asked to get rid of it, and by the time we figure out what it is, they're like, well, camera, point in case. I don't want to get rid of it now that I know what it is. Heck, it doesn't bother me anymore. So
that's good.
Hmm. You know, there's been a few. We've gone in and smudged and blessed the house afterwards because they just wanted resolution. But for the most part, they're not really looking for that. They just want to know.
Oh, by the way, Tamara, there was something else in that house.
No.
Have you had any cases where it's possibly classed as a demon or, I guess, a malevolent being that's set out to be evil or anything like that?
Yes, we have.
Have one?
We had a... Have we ever been in any place where the place was evil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, Westfield.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
We did one in a coastal town. It was my cousin's house, actually. Oh, and we found out after the fact that this house was owned by a guy who killed people. And I was in there, and I was hearing with my own ears and the spirit box something yelling at me. And then other spirits moving on, because I'm like, you guys can move on. You don't have to stay here. I'm hearing thank you, goodbye. And this thing just kept getting angrier and angrier with me. And at that point, I wasn't smart enough to pull myself out. So I was up there, a good hour?
Tell me what happened afterwards.
And because I didn't pull myself out, this thing attached to me, and I started picking up on its anger. And by the time we closed up, got all of our stuff packed in, I was so paranoid and angry that I wouldn't talk to anybody on the way back. And I didn't sleep that night. And I actually quit the group the next day because I was that angry. And I knew I shouldn't have been angry at anybody there. And we had figured it out later that I did call you Hitler. that I had this guy imprint him his anger on me. Because I was moving on the spirits that he was trying to hold on to. He is a mean guy. We got some of our best evidence there.
That's intense.
It was very intense. And we got called in because my cousin's wife kept... She was seeing things. She was seeing dogs with red eyes. My cousin finally called because he had woke her up on the couch one day and her eyes were all white and rolled back in her head and she was talking to him. She didn't remember any of it. Yeah. We found out after the fact that this was the house of a killer. And we didn't have that information to begin with. But then we had one in Westfield where the person... Westfield's a town close to ours. It's actually the town I grew up in. And the lady who was renting it before the people that were renovating it was doing pagan rituals in there. And she conjured up something, and we actually got it on the 3D Kinects. It was hanging from the ceiling, and it unfolded itself like a 6-foot-tall spider, then scurry across the attic floor.
Jeez.
So, but yeah, when Rachel went in, Rachel picks up on the energies, the feelings. She was in there not even 5 minutes, and she hit the floor just shaking. She couldn't stand. She couldn't think. She was all upset, and we actually had to drag her out of there so that she could regroup. It was something very evil. It was so bad, in fact, that we never let it out to the public, any of the video or anything. By the time we were done reviewing, I was so sick to my stomach about it that we just packed it away and never showed it to anybody.
Sounds like a good idea that you didn't let anybody see it.
No, not even the owner. They've asked a couple of times, and I'm like, you know what? I can put it all on DVD and you can have it, but I'm not coming back to that house.
Well,
so what happened to you at the cemetery?
That was fun. Major attachment, I think.
We're at a hobo cemetery. It's a cemetery that poor people, hobos, sometimes thieves were buried in. Not necessarily consecrated ground. And we had investigated that six times.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we went in there, it got increasingly more menacing. And as we were talking, I pointed the camera at Mark, and I'm like, how you feeling, Mark? He goes, not so good. Why? I said, because something black just walked right past him. He broke out into a cold sweat, and we pretty much left right at that point. I took the sensitives in there. How far did you guys make it in before you stopped and backed out?
Is it still on out by...
P?
Yeah. Well, we felt it when we walked onto the land.
Mm-hmm.
We felt it.
Yeah.
But then, especially when we got over to the tree, I was done.
Yeah. The sensitives walked in there. We didn't get more than 10 feet, and they backed up and walked right out. And they're like, no, we're not going in there.
Yeah, there's something nasty living in that.
Something nasty in there. So.
Well, that graveyard, at the end of one investigation where we were filming, we had two cameras rolling on the northern part of the cemetery where the trees are. With our naked eyes, we could see white light anomalies kind of swooshing through the trees. Neither camera picked those up, but four or five of us witnessed them with our own eyes.
Yeah.
Usually, it's the other way around. I've caught stuff on camera that I didn't see with my own eyes. It was captured by the technology. So it's interesting that you saw something that the technology didn't see. So.
Yeah,
I think it was pure white light because everything else has got a signature, either infrared, ultraviolet, somewhere in the light spectrum that's going to produce something the camera can record.
Mm.
But it did not. Neither camera, and they were both the same kind of cameras.
Yeah. We're normally like you where we catch stuff that we didn't see that we catch with the technology. But
yeah.
It was really strange to not catch something. Because now we're all excited. We got to go review this and see what this is, see what we can zoom in on. And there was nothing there, but you could clearly see us all standing there talking. Well, and recorded us talking about these lights that didn't get picked up with the camera.
Case in point about seeing stuff, when we did Paul's house, I was sitting out in the truck with a friend of mine, Richard, who was on our group, smoking a cigarette going, this is a waste of time. I've never been so wrong in my whole entire life.
Wow.
Yeah, generally if Mark says this is a waste of time, I'm going home to review because he's almost always wrong.
I got a good 1% or so.
Yeah.
And those two women that were having that conversation in the basement over us.
Yeah, have you guys ever caught a couple of voices that you can't see, you can't hear, that have nothing to do with the conversation that you guys are having?
Not experienced that, no.
We have. We've caught it a couple of times where there's like a conversation going in on the... in the background that had nothing to do with what we were asking. It was like two different spirits talking, like they didn't even know that we were there.
I had at my house too.
Yep. Yeah, we caught video at Tamara's house of that happening.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you guys have captured a lot of evidence over the last few years.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting that you guys seem to have quite a lot of activity there. So do you have equipment that you find gives the best evidence? Because you talked about a few different bits, but do you have anything that you feel gives better results than others?
It
It depends on the situation, actually.
It depends on, yeah, it depends on the night. I bought a full spectrum camera that I thought was broken. We all thought it was a piece of junk, and I waited months for the stupid thing to come in. And it's caught some of the best evidence yet. When it finally started working at Paul's house, sometimes it's on the, we have Sonys that shoot night vision. The spirit box is, it really depends. Audio recordings is a big one for us. Tamara has Wi-Fi cameras that she sets up in her house that caught a plethora of evidence when nobody's home. It really just depends.
And it depends as well, because like some investigations will go on. We'll put fresh batteries and everything. They drain them so quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just for no reason.
We spend a lot of money on batteries. We do.
Uh-huh. To be fair, we've gone to places where we haven't caught jack shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded very promising, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. The people are all excited and they're hearing all this stuff, and we get there and we can go, well, that's your ice maker, and you know.
Oh yeah, electrical.
We can hear the neighbors through the wall, so that might be what you're hearing.
Yeah,
I believe that there's something going on. I just don't think we know yet. We did an investigation for a guy that he's a Bigfoot hunter. He's into cryptozoology. I mess with him horribly. But during the investigation, we got a chance to sit and talk with other people who are investigating. And cryptozoologists generally don't like ghost hunters, and ghost hunters don't like dealing. I'm gonna ask you to believe in a ghost, but don't ask me to believe in Bigfoot, sort of a deal, you know. And the more we talk, the more I realize what we do is so closely related that by us not getting along, we're missing things. I know a lot of ghost hunting groups refuse to talk to other ghost hunting groups because they don't want their stuff being stolen, and we're just the opposite. We try to talk to everybody because I think we're not getting the full picture because we're not getting everything we need by not talking to each other.
And we like to see how other people investigate.
Oh, yeah. It's fun for us. It isn't a pride thing. That's what's, I don't know. People say we get a lot more evidence than everybody else, and I think a lot of it's due to the energy that we bring to the investigation. Mm-hmm. We generally are friends. We're family. We laugh and we joke, and everybody laughs when I get swore at, but I mean, we're goofing. Literally, it was a few weeks ago, we were at a museum where Ed Gein was incarcerated during his trial. You guys know who Ed Gein is? Ed Gein was the character that Psycho was based at on the movie.
Okay.
He was born and raised and did his murders about 30 miles from where we live. And wow. We were at there, and Brock, one of our investigators, he gets in these goofy moods and he hides in things and he jumps up. Well, he had gone up to the jail cell with two of the investigators, Michelle and Rachel, and they were looking for the door in, and he knew where the door was, so he just walked through it and he laid down on one of the beds. And they walked in, and all they saw was somebody lying on a bed that could have been empty, and boy, they screamed. It was hysterical. Then he was crawling across the floor, and we had to walk by some mannequins, and he reached out and grabbed Rachel's leg as she walked by in the dark. Little did he know, she had a tennis ball in her hand, and she whipped it at him, smoked him right in the head. But we laugh, we joke, we have a good time.
I mean, we're serious for the investigation part where we're doing our jobs, but we don't take it so serious that we can't just be ourselves, and
yeah.
I think that helps lighten the energy, and they feel like we're,
and
we think that makes them more receptive to us.
You know, it's never a demanding thing. It's more of a kind of like a pub feel.
Yeah.
You know, it's we just have conversations and we mess with each other and and so we laugh a lot. And sometimes they laugh. They get into it. It's fun for them. I that's the only thing I can think of that we do differently than some other ones that are so serious is we generally like each other and we get along really, really well. And I think that that energy that we bring to it is why we get the responses that we get.
I do believe that if you can provide some good energy, that certainly helps. I think a lot of groups are potentially too forced and try to be like they see it on telly.
Yeah.
And forced.
I agree.
Do you guys do a lot of research before you go to a location, or do you just sort of go in with minimal information? Or
not really.
Not a lot available.
Wisconsin is not good at preserving our history.
Especially our area.
And our area is even worse about it. So a lot of times, anything you get, you're getting from local historians, and it's hearsay. Right. We do listen to it, but usually after the fact. We like to go in with no preconceived ideas. We don't want to try and force an investigation in any way. But we also don't do, you know, if we know a place is reported to be haunted and a dozen other people have been there, we're just not interested in going there. We go into buildings, we go into homes, cemeteries, places that nobody else has done.
It's too small to be
interested. Yeah, it's too small for a big one to be interested in. Those are the ones we like because we're really trying to help and learn at the same time. And us doing, we try to do what we can, but we usually get more after the fact. You know, when we get a few names, now we got something to go with. And then you start talking to the historians, and if they can provide names that match, that helps.
Definitely. Definitely.
Where England, so, you guys really know your history. We have hand-me-down tales here, you know.
Yeah, I think we're quite fortunate and unfortunate. I think that is good and bad for investigations. It's great for trying to understand and put together pieces that we may have captured and reinforcing what we've captured, but also it can almost lead an investigation because there's so much information on a particular that you go in there with a preconceived idea of what you're expecting to see. I don't know, the Black Monk of Pontefract
is
one place at a very famous location called 30s Drive. Which I've been to, and there's seen a few weird things there, but nothing too major. But I went there with a preconceived idea of what I was expecting to, what was expecting to happen. Whereas we've got locations that we've been to, and I haven't known anything about anything with that particular location, and that's where we got the footsteps running. We've got the smell of smoke. We've captured orbs and those kind of things. So I prefer not to know anything about a location. I can help it.
Yeah,
that's why I am personally. I like to go in as blind as possible because I think your senses are heightened. You're not looking for a preconceived thing.
Absolutely, you're not trying to find something that's not there.
Yeah. If you catch something, that's great. And if you do, you try to link it up with something that one of the sensitives could feel inside the house when they go through.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm generally the point of contact for first. If somebody, you know, calls or sends an email, I'm usually the first one to pick up on it and talk to them. And then I don't give anybody information other than what I know. The sensitives don't want to know. They want to walk in blind.
Yeah.
I'll give basic information like they're hearing footsteps to the investigators, but never the sensitives.
People know anything.
And most of the time we walk in the doors, I am the only one who knows what's going on in there. They just know that we have stuff going on and we need to figure it out. If you hear footsteps, Mark and I will talk about that, and Paul, usually Brock too, because then we can go in and try and find different reasons. We had one where the lady kept saying, I keep hearing footsteps at night walking up my stairs all winter long. Well, upon investigation, it was an old house, and when they redid the heating, they ran the heat duct right underneath the stairs. So heat kicks on pretty quick. The wood starts warming up, and it did. It sounded like footsteps all the way up the stairs. Of course, now it cools down, and you got footsteps going back down the stairs.
Do you guys have a favorite case investigated, and you go, wow, that place is just incredible?
I'd say that gun store.
Our very first one was probably our favorite, and it was unexpected. It was a gun store and rifle range and bow hunting shop, where we got our first EVP, Class A EVP. We went back multiple times. It was just fun. In fact, we're going to be going back here in the spring again to do the only building on that property that we weren't allowed to go into at the time. But it was fun. It was where we cut our teeth. Being the first one, it's probably the one that sticks out the most. We've done so many since that I actually have to go back and review the files to remember what happened there.
That's why I called on my wife twice.
Yep. Tamara's was, we had a good time. And I literally got swore at in the basement within 30 seconds of walking in, and I'm like, oh, yay.
That was
this great. Is fun.
My house, I think my house is probably my favorite one.
Your favorite one.
And it's not just because it's my house. It's just.
It was an emotional one.
Yeah.
It's the first one where one of our members actually had a spirit run through her and take her to the ground. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
You know.
To an Amy clock.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was humbling because we didn't expect to get what we got. And it was. I think it's where we really felt like, okay, now we've got all the pieces to the puzzle to make our group complete.
Yeah.
I guess. That's where we brought Tamara in and Rachel. And literally we started by going over there. And by the end of the investigation, they were just part of the group. We realized our group couldn't go forward without them. Aww. So, and this is not long after I had brought Michelle in as a sensitive, and we had done a few investigations.
It was just meant to be.
And figuring out that Tamara and Rachel were sensitive, I didn't put them together because I didn't know how it was going to go. Michelle, Rachel, and Tamara. So Michelle wasn't at that one because I was still trying to figure out, you know, as one of the leaders, how this dynamic was going to work. And I should have just known that it was fate that we'd all work so well together, but... So I was hesitant, so it was a little while before we all kind of put it all together, and we've done some very interesting ones since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we make a good team. There's a reason I booked my house and called you guys and then got Rachel, and then it happened the way it was supposed to.
See, now Lisa, not being a sensitive and not really being an investigator, but working behind the scenes, what's your favorite one?
Oh, boy. I haven't been on many. I think Mount Morris.
Mount Morris was a good one. That's Michelle's husband's business. That was a fun one. We laughed a lot. That's where we caught evidence that we didn't think was evidence until later when we found something that corroborated it. We thought it was just a camera going in and out of focus. We've had that happen to us several times. The case that I happen to be talking about was Mount Morris the first time we were there. I like to tell people, not being a sensitive, I rely on the equipment. So it's kind of like a blind man stepping out in the sun and somebody saying, well, the sky is blue. You got to take them at their word at it. My dogs are playing in the background. So we're talking ghosts and we can hear thumping in the background. And everybody's staring at the wall. Michaela, who is Michelle's daughter, is also sensitive and she's part of the group. And I'm trying to see what they can do. So we're filming and we're talking. And so I think the camera's going in and out of focus between them. And I can't figure out, because they're clear but the surrounding around them keeps going in and out of focus. And I thought, okay, there's something wrong with the camera, and I just put the footage to the side. But as I'm doing a review on the recorders, I'm getting these EVPs, and it's corresponding with questions that are being asked. And it's at that point that I realize that these EVPs are coming exactly when the camera was going in and out of focus. So I go back and I review it, and as I pan out and I actually look at it, they're getting these EVPs. The camera's going in and out of focus between them, but they're staying in focus. And as the EVP stop, an orb flies out of Michaela's arm, and the background clears up crystal clear, and we realize that it quit talking. And had I not figured out that the two of them were linked, we would have thrown that evidence out and never even realized it was evidence.
Yeah, that's like we were saying slightly earlier about trying to capture multiple things on multiple devices.
Yeah.
And that just lends weight to the fact that something's happening there.
Yeah. That place had a very long history. We did a lot of laughing there too. So if you're ever in a building, make sure you know where the exit is, because this place has four exits. We have a big group, and four of them were down in the conference room talking. I'm in the dark, and I thought I know what was going on where I was. Michelle's asking questions like, can you make a noise if you're here? And I reached out and grabbed the door that I thought was going to the outside, because it was a big metal door, and I gave it a big solid jerk. Well, it was right behind their head, scared the hell out of them. And, yeah.
And when we came down the stairs there, and Michelle said, is there anybody there? And my face appeared at the window.
Yeah, yeah. Because we were looking for the way out in the dark. Is there anybody there? And Paul sticks his face through the window, at which point she screamed. And,
I put the flashlight up to my face, too.
So, that's all good. Everybody's in a heightened state of...
oh, yeah.
Switched on as well, awareness.
So do you guys like to do your investigations mostly at night?
Most of the time we do it in the dark, but we've had good results during the day also. The nice thing about dark is it takes out a lot of the interference. Cars driving by, dogs barking, that you get during the day that you don't get at night. But absolutely agree. I mean, in the dark definitely heightens the awareness of what's going on around you. You notice the temperature fluctuations more, which where Mark gets hot, I get cold. You feel the energy, I think, as it comes up on you or it passes by you in the dark better, because you're not relying on your eyes and your ears as much.
Yeah, I think it makes you think about things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I've never actually done a paranormal investigation. I'm the UFO guy.
I want to talk to you.
I investigate UFOs, research UFOs, all that stuff. But obviously going into 2021, I'm going to meet up with Greg, get involved, do some actual paranormal investigations. So my last question to you guys is, what advice would you have for me on my first investigation?
What I would say if you're going on your first investigation is keep an open mind, but don't jump to conclusions.
I agree with that. Definitely keep an open mind, but not everything you hear is paranormal. Always look for an alternative answer. If you hear a voice, look to see if it can be coming from someplace else. Mm-hmm. We don't believe that all orbs are orbs. For us to buy into an orb, it needs to be solid. It needs to be emitting a light source, pulsing, flying in a way that dust would. When Mark and I started this, we actually set up the DVR system in the dark. We threw straw up, sand up, dust up in the air, just so we could figure out what it would look like, so we wouldn't get the things mixed up.
Probably got 200 hours of training in my backyard.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Before we even went out, we probably did at least 200 hours of training in the backyard at his house trying to figure it out. Yeah, keep an open mind.
And enjoy it.
Enjoy it. have some fun, be respectful.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we're firm believers of being respectful. If you do encounter a ghost, realize that most of the time it was a human. Human feelings, human thoughts. If it was if that ghost was a prick as a human, it'll be a prick as a ghost too. We found out sometimes worse.
We were saying there's no hope for you.
If it's a kindly old lady, she's probably going to be a kindly old lady as a ghost too.
Maybe even more kindly because I think it tends to kind of enhance because it's just them and they can't interact. So once they realize that you can see them or hear them, it seems to enhance their kindness or their anger. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. Learn your equipment. I keep telling everybody I'm not the tech guy. I keep getting lumped into that position. If there's a way to screw a piece of equipment up, I can do it. Literally. Mike Edler, the retired police officer, very methodical, very skeptical, very grounded, very patient. He'll sit in the dark forever quietly. The problem is we forget he's in there and then we walk in there. It scares the hell out of us. You know?
I'm sure with ghosts, the same as UFOs, like 95% of the stuff can be explained. Mm-hmm. If not straight away, then
yeah,
a couple of days of research, you can find out what it was. Like with UFOs, you've got stars, you've got satellites, you've got lens flare, you've got police helicopters, you've got airplanes. And a lot of time, you can just quickly identify it straight away. And you just need to rule them out first. I'm guessing that's the same for paranormal stuff. You rule out what it isn't, and then you look at what it could be.
Yeah, Mark actually started with the UFOs long before we started the ghost hunting. We started the ghost hunting because he had something walk, you know, across his living room and into him, and he knows that I work weird hours, so he looks and sees I'm still awake at 3 a.m. and he calls me and says, so you still do that ghost hunting? I'm like, yeah. Can ghosts walk into you? I'm like, yeah. Damn it, my house is haunted. 2 weeks later, the group was formed and we started going.
Well, Kimmy was telling me the house was haunted long before we did, but I told her she was drunk and nuts.
Yeah.
There's definitely a link between UFOs, paranormal, cryptozoology, that kind of thing. And it's funny you should mention that, because in future episodes that me and Ash are going to be talking, that's one of the subjects that we want to cover off in future episode of the podcast, is the link between aliens, paranormal, UFOs, that kind of thing, and how closely linked they do appear to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of sightings, UFO sightings around hot spots of like Bigfoot, those kind of things. So
yeah,
have to have a listen. But listen, I know we've taken up a lot of time today, and I really want to thank you guys for making the time to come and speak to us on the podcast. It's been really interesting. Yeah. It's fascinating to see how you guys do stuff and how you guys come together. As I say, I've got part of a paranormal group as well, and a lot of what you said resonates with how we run the paranormal group and the kind of things that we try and achieve as well. So it's I just really want to thank you guys for spending nearly a couple of hours with us.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us.
We could probably talk for hours. But yeah, thank you so much for your time, guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll let you guys go now. We're approaching 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
No, not at all. It's been great fun. So thank you very much, and we'll speak to you guys soon.
Yeah, you guys stay safe, and hopefully this gets over at some point. We can come over and share an investigation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got loads of places we can go. So, yeah, definitely. Well, you guys stay safe as well.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Bye. Speak to you soon.
Bye.
You can find out more about these guys if you search for East Oxford Paranormal Society, Dark Wisconsin, on Facebook. Thank you for joining us again this week, and we'll see you next Tuesday for another episode of Pursuit of the Paranormal.
Pursuit of the Paranormal with Ash and Greg.